Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Happy Easter, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. It's great to be with you again. I hope you've had a wonderful opportunity this weekend to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which really is the center of our faith. We're just beginning now what will be the octave of Easter, the celebration of our Lord's resurrection. And I invited today to join me Peter Burak, who's been on the program before. We were having a conversation just a few weeks back about Acts chapter 2, which turns out to be the reading this week the church gives us immediately after yesterday's celebration of the resurrection. The first reading we have at Mass each day this week is the beginning of the ministry, the empowered ministry in the Holy Spirit of the apostles as they go forward to preach the gospel, the truth, and bear witness to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and he's seated at the right hand of the Father and what that all means for us now. And they're obeying and they're walking in the commission, the great commission that Christ has given to them, and they've been clothed with the power that he said he would give them. So it's exciting stuff, not only to celebrate the resurrection, but to see its implication in the birth of the church and the church being what the church is meant to be. So welcome, Pete.
Hey, good. Nice to be here.
This is good stuff. So let's take a look at this key passage. Maybe we could set it up a little bit. We're not going to go through it line by line, but let's just kind of romp in what the Lord has given us, what's burning in your heart about the passage and about this beautiful time of year. And
absolutely.
I'll do the same.
All right. Sounds good.
So it begins with Acts chapter 2, 14, and that's today's reading. But let's back up to two passages, Luke 24, and then Acts 1 as a kind of foundation. What do we have there in Luke 24? Luke 24.
So this is after the resurrection, right? And Jesus is appearing to his disciples, and you know that must have been a very bizarre time for them in some ways. It's like they saw him die, and now he's back. There had to have been great excitement, great anticipation, and a certain kind of, okay, what's next, Lord? What's going to happen? Now that you're back, are we going to establish the kingdom? What does this look like? How long are you going to be with us? And he really kind of drops a bomb on them in a certain way and says, you know, the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. But he couches that, or he frames that with a very clear directive to wait until they receive power from on high. He ties the mission, his kingly mission to conquer the world now, to a power source that they, in some ways, do not have yet. And then in Acts chapter 1, he actually calls that the promise of the Father. So he ties the Holy Spirit to this thing that has been foretold, which is God's Spirit being poured out on the faithful to empower them to then fulfill kind of the ultimate mission, which is to bring all men and all women under the authority of his lordship.
That's good. Key dimension of Luke 24 says, then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So lots of Jesus taught many things, and people didn't know for sure if he was who he said he was. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the thing that turns the whole table and brings clear conviction that he is the one who has the authority, that he really understands what's going on, that everything he said is vindicated in his resurrection. So he's speaking from the position of complete authority and absolute understanding. And then he says to them, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the scriptures to you. And he goes on to say very simply, the walk to Calvary, his passion and his death was prophesied, and he died just as he was meant to die, that it wasn't plan B. It didn't get away from him. His plan didn't get away from him, but he was living fully in the plan of the Father, that he came to die, and he came to die for our sins. And then he goes on to talk about, he said that he died so he could rise again for this purpose, so that repentance and forgiveness of sins, he said, should then be preached to all nations. So Luke 24 and Acts 1 and 2 are intimately tied together.
Yeah.
Because now that he's risen, what he's accomplished for us, we know is true. We know the meaning of his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood. Jesus is telling us what it's for. It's for repentance and forgiveness of sins. So this needs to be on the forefront of the life of the apostles and the whole church. It's like the foundational thing that the church is going after to get people to repent, to get them out of sin, to bring them out of sin and bring them into the life that they see in the resurrected person of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said, well, okay, you're witnesses to all this happening. But as you said, now I want to hand it back to you, where he said, to do this, you're going to have to wait until I clothe you, the Father clothes you with power from on high.
Yeah, and one of the reasons they needed to wait was because that's a fulfillment of Scripture. And Peter, in, you know, as we get into like Peter's just glorious speech on Pentecost, is you can see that his mind has been open to Scripture, because he quotes Scripture abundantly in his opening address. And so it actually makes sense. There's a beautiful clarity here, a beautiful strategy even, of the fulfillment of Scripture, the outpouring of the Spirit. You are all witnesses. I've risen from the dead. You've seen me. You are going to testify to this reality. And the way it's going to be proved in the hearts and minds of your listeners is they won't see me as you have seen me, but they'll see the Spirit. My same Spirit, the Spirit that raised me from the dead, will be residing in you. And that will be the proof, the promise of the Father, and the signs and wonders and the prophecy and the power and the freedom that comes from the promise of the Father will be the proof, if you will, of my resurrection, of my lordship, of the fact that you need to repent and believe in me if salvation is to be yours. And so, yeah, you know, it seems pretty fundamental, but yeah. In some ways, just getting down to these basics and seeing the continuity of the Scripture narrative here and then how it has played out throughout all of human history since is a really beautiful and exciting reality.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Jesus, I'm thinking of Lectio Divina, you know, the means of the way of understanding and kind of praying the Scriptures. That part of what you do is you put yourself in the situation.
Yeah.
And so the Luke 24 is Jesus's first time with the apostles. It's the first post-resurrection appearance. Mm. And so you think what he wants to say to them is really important in that moment, right? So he downloads what we just described, you know, the things that we just talked about. And then you go to Acts chapter 1, and Acts chapter 1 begins with his last moments with the apostles before he ascends to the right hand of the Father. So those are two really fundamental times and moments, right?
Yeah.
And so that Luke 1 was very clear about the meaning of his needing to die and rise and its fundamental purpose for dealing with the problem of sin, which deals with the problem of death, and that they now are commissioned to go forward to carry that to others, and as you said, to be clothed with power. Now, Acts 1, Jesus describes himself. In verse 3, says, to them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So what's he saying there?
I mean, it's beautiful. He's the commander, right? He's equipping his army. He's laid out the plan. This is where you're going to go. And it's almost like, okay, wait until the ammunition arrives and then go. Mm-hmm. And you'll know it once it happens. It's interesting. He doesn't give a ton of description as to what that moment, that baptism in the Holy Spirit moment, is going to look like. But clearly the apostles recognized it as such, because as soon as you get into chapter 2, you know, and the Pentecost narrative begins, they clearly were ready, open, and totally receptive to however the Holy Spirit was going to appear. They didn't have this kind of closed-hearted mentality of, well, he has to appear in this way, or this is too bizarre, I don't like this. Or when the Spirit came as tongues of fire, and they began to speak in many tongues, they received it. And remember, their minds were open to the Scripture. Mm-hmm. So as that happened, the Spirit flowed into their hearts and their minds, and there was a recognition of what this moment meant. And so by the time Peter stands up to address the crowd who thinks they're drunk, you know, and is insulting them even and wondering what is going on in this place, when he stands up to address the crowd, he's standing up not only as one now clothed with power from on high, but one whose heart, mind, soul, there's an integration that wasn't previously there. And now he's standing with the other 11 as the first magisterium of the church, standing in his new ministry as the Pope and declaring a matter of faith and morals. And we all know from our catechism, when the Pope stands with the other bishops and declares something about faith and morals, it is an infallible statement. Here he is exercising this new anointing that he received from Jesus, and he's declaring infallibly to the crowd the truth about their situation. And to me, that means we should pay really close attention to what he says, because it's the first time the Pope preaches infallibly. And yeah. What does he lead off with? You know?
Yeah, no, that's good. He goes on here in chapter 1, where he talks about the apostles they're excited. They know that he's the Messiah, that he's fulfilled all the prophetic words from about the Messiah in the Old Testament, the Psalms that Peter will preach on in Acts chapter 2. And they say, okay, is this the time now, Lord, that you're gonna restore the kingship of Israel, the kingdom of Israel? You're the king, so let's go. Let's reestablish it. And then Jesus Again, they even despite everything they've seen and all the time they've spent with the Lord, they still don't have the clear picture of exactly what's going to unfold.
Yeah.
You know? And so Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the apostles are wondering, are we going into Jerusalem now? Are we going to establish your kingdom now? Are we going to get after it? We're going to overthrow the Romans? Whatever was on their mind, Jesus said, listen, it's not your concern right now. The Father's plan is unfolding, and he knows what it is, but here's what you need to be focused on. What you need to be focused on is you're going to receive power, and you're going to receive power for a purpose.
Yes.
And the purpose for you is to take the message of the forgiveness of sins and salvation to the nations and to the whole world, to Israel and beyond, you know? So even in that moment, just before he ascended to the right hand of the Father,
yeah,
he was trying to bring clarity to the brothers,
yeah,
you know, about what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know?
It's like, I have one more chance to get this through your thick skulls in some ways. And then, but luckily I know the Holy Spirit's coming to bring clarity to it. But it is interesting that, and I think that's a reflection of us, right? Often we can, who have heard this many times, who maybe even believe it, who ourselves have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, can still think as man does and not as God does. And that's, mm-hmm, this is a classic example of this. Even with all the signs, all the wonders, all the things that the Lord is doing, they're still, they can't kind of sometimes get out of their own humanity and their own mentality of the temporal needs before them,
yeah,
and see the bigger picture. And that's one of the beauties of both the magisterium to help us see the bigger picture, but then also the Holy Spirit flowing through our hearts and minds.
Yeah. So going back to what you were saying a minute ago, Pete, that the today's reading actually begins with verse 14 of chapter 2.
Yeah.
Why don't you just read that?
But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he dives into this beautiful passage from Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Yeah. So what Peter's, it's interesting, Peter's interpreting the moment. That's another thing the magisterium does, right? That's what the Pope, you know, part of his role and part of the role of the bishops to be able to do the same. And so Peter's explaining, clearly people are seeing something, that the apostles, when they came out from the upper room with a new boldness, there was something really different about them. And they, so much so that they looked like they were drunk, and people wondering what's going on. So Peter's saying, let me tell you what's going on. What's going on is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, not just on King David, not just on Moses, not just on a prophet, but on all flesh, that God's intention was to give the Spirit of God, that Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, right? That the Spirit that was upon Jesus would be given to all of us. And this would be a sign that the last days, the final days of human history, had begun. And guess what? There's only 25 seconds left. Boy, this program's gone fast.
It's been fun.
We made it all the way through verse 15.
We just got started.
Yeah, the reading of the day. So, friends, we're going to continue to, you might say, romp in this, just to enjoy this and try to learn from it over the next few days. These passages, I hope you can tune in, because these are completely relevant to us. And the whole purpose of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ makes all of what Peter's talking about possible, and it includes the vision and mission for each one of our lives. God bless you. Hope you can join us tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.